Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 48, the first paragraph. The reader may still ask, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, without a reasonable assumption as a starting point, and comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Jen P., for the 12 Traditions, Felicia D., reading the text are Craig F. and Rick J. Our backup is Carmela G. The newcomer greeter is Susan S.H. And the host of the second hour is Anne-Marie M. The reference number for the Sunday special edition yesterday, September 22nd, is 21,764. That's 21764. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Jen P., grateful to be here from New Jersey. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen P. Okay, I will now ask Felicia D. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning. This is Felicia D. from Maine, and I'm reading traditions. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be anonymous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass, have a blessed day in recovery to everyone.
Thank you, Felicia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 48, the first paragraph in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're reading that first paragraph and the next paragraph. The reader may still ask, ending with, without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. Comments on both paragraphs, and I will ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Okay. Good morning. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at some of them. The practical individual of today is a stickler for facts and results. Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. Everyone believes them without a... Why this ready acceptance? Because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. Okay, it's a good paragraph for me. That's a good one. The whole of modern mathematics and science is founded on five simple assumptions. They're called postulates. A man named Euclid, a Greek man named Euclid, over about 2,000 years ago, made these five simple assumptions, and everything in mathematics, everything in geometry is found, everything in physics is really founded in those five postulates, that you take them and extend them and prove this theorem and you prove that theorem, and finally you come to where we're at today, and probably it'll grow further because we started with five postulates. five assumptions that are reasonable. If the five assumptions had been unreasonable, had there been a flaw in that, then it would prove things that are obviously not true and not applicable, and we would have to go back and start over again. So what this paragraph says is, why this ready acceptance? Simply because it's impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And so what Bill's telling us here is that the reasonable assumption as a starting point is that there is a power greater than us. That is a reasonable assumption, and it's a reasonable assumption because it's difficult, if not impossible, to explain everything around us without involving the idea of a higher power. We have the beauty of nature, the vastness of the universe. We have certain things that we can't explain otherwise that we call miracles. Those things around us difference that we see in people that have accepted the fact that there is a power greater than themselves, that were not able to get sober or abstinent before, but because they have yielded to this power greater than themselves, are able to get sober or abstinent today. That is a miracle. And so it leads us to understand that this acceptance of the fact that there's a power, a great power in the universe, is a reasonable assumption because what it proves, what it shows, what it builds, is reasonable. And just like
time, please.
Thanks. Just like what Euclid's theories, what Euclid's postulates proved is reasonable. So. If that I pass, thanks.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Craig. And as I said, we're on page 48, the first paragraph. The reader may still ask. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you shared last Thursday or Friday, please hold back. And who would like to share?
Well, I guess.
Tanya D.
Tanya D.
Roy C.
Roy C. Star one to unmute if you'd like to share on these two paragraphs. Okay, well, let's get started with these three. We have Leah S., Tanya D., and Roy C. Then we'll see if someone else will take a turn. Go ahead, Leah S.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Katie, for your continuous service. My name is Leah S., and I am so grateful and recovered in Brooklyn, New York. So these two paragraphs are sort of like telling me, are you a scientist or what are you becoming over here? What do you want to? What do you think? So basically what this means to me is that I have feelings. I have feelings and I have emotions. And first I thought, okay, I'm eating because of these emotions, you know, come on, you know, like, this is so sad, this is so bad, I got to eat over it because I got to feel good. And then if I'm going to a happy occasion and everybody's dancing and laughing and, oh, my God, I just need to eat because I got to eat, you know, like, this is really going to make me feel even better. And what I didn't understand is that I don't need any kind of I don't need any kind of excuse to be able to eat or not to eat. There are certain foods, this is like, it's impossible to explain, that when I consume them, they really trigger me. They trigger some kinds of more and more and more of it, and I can't understand it. But just like I have feelings, and I can understand that these feelings are coming from somewhere, then I can understand that there is a higher power that is enabling me, and that is doing things for me in my life that are really they're just not explainable, and I don't have to explain it to myself. Because it just is infinite. And, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. And now Tanya D., followed by Roy C.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. And I came in as an atheist, and so this was a really, really helpful chapter for me. And this, you know, theories, for example, about electricity, everybody believes them without a murmur of doubt. That was also helpful because, you know, at one point I realized, like, I actually know very little about electricity. I took, you know, I learned some stuff in physics class. I can kind of explain to you how it works, but not really, but that doesn't stop me from being able to use the lights in my house, from like understanding how electricity can be useful to me. And I certainly, you know, believe that it exists. And, you know, if I had insisted for some reason that like I understand electricity 100%, like what is this, you know, weird thing that's like a bunch of electrons, like, no, like explain it to me before using it, I would still be stuck. And so, you know, to me, part of this is pointing to like the slogan, utilize, not analyze. What are things that are firmly grounded in fact for me? Well, that people are turning to a higher power and are getting relief from their compulsive overeating and other things, right? Like, that's really the fact that I need to know, because I want to go into, well, what is this higher power and how does it fit with the laws of physics and blah, 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 blah. And to me, that's kind of the stuff with the electricity. Like, yes, I can ask all those questions. They're not really going to be helpful to me. Like, what I really need to know is how do I work it? How do I connect with a higher power? And the other thing, this paragraph makes me think, you know, again, firmly grounded in fact. Like, I believed so many things that were not firmly grounded in fact. Like, I believed that I should be able to eat, you know, just one of certain things, that I should be able to eat certain things in moderation. Like, that was not firmly grounded in fact. I had no experience eating those things in moderation, and still I persisted. So to me, like, this paragraph and this chapter in general is not just about seeing, like, why I should believe in a higher power, but also how my own thinking is very, very flawed, and that I'm not the higher power, right? Because to me, the first thing that had to happen is letting go of the idea that I'm the higher power, right? And then after that, was I able to find a different higher power that I'm really grateful to have a relationship with now. Thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Okay, thank you so much. Roy C., you're up, and then we'll take another list of names.
Good morning. This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey, not Troy from Florida. Good morning to all. And this theory is a great thing. Belief in a higher power and the practicing, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So the belief in a higher power and practicing the principles of Overeaters Anonymous is allowing me to recover from compulsive overeating. And I don't have to know all the ins and outs of a higher power and where it came from, or I just need to believe in it and practice the principles of Overeaters Anonymous, very much in the way of flying. Man didn't believe that he flew. Then it came about with the theories of aerodynamics, and man practiced and became able to fly. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to get on a gigantic airplane, and I pay good money for a ticket, and I'm going to fly from Philadelphia to Des Moines, Iowa. And I don't know all the ins and outs of the theories of aerodynamics, understand it, but I have knowledge that if I get on that plane and everything goes right, if those theories are practiced, I'm going to be able to fly in that airplane from one city to the other and back home safely. I'm really grateful for that. And that's just the way life goes. We don't have to understand everything. We just need to practice it and do the right thing. It reminds me of a song by a man by the name of Guy Clark called The Cape. And there was a little boy with a flour sack cape believed that he could fly. And he didn't have to know the ins and outs of dynamics, but he believed that he could fly. And in his mind, he did. And that makes me think of that. So I'm going to keep on keeping on and fly there and back tomorrow. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Roy. Okay, so we're on page 48 in We Agnostics, the first paragraph, the reader may still ask, reading through two paragraphs, ending with assumption as a starting point. And who would like to share, who has not shared in the last 2 days?
Pedro B.
Pedro B.
Charles H.
Margaret B., Georgia.
Charles H., Margaret D.
Jeannie B. in Florida.
Jeannie B. I can take a couple more. Okay, tough crowd this morning. Okay, go ahead, Pedro B., followed by Charles H., then Margaret D. and Jeannie B. Go ahead, please, Pedro.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro B. I am a compulsive overeater in San Bernardino, California. Very happy to be here. I haven't been here in a while. And, yeah, this is a tough, nobody wants to share in this. But basically, what I want to share is very simple. It says, the reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. And that's the question that if I ask myself, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? And then if I look at the fact is that on my own device, on my own will, on my own running my life, right, on self-will, I got myself to be overweight, right? And then, you know, I get in here and then I see people that are recovering and that they're healthy and, you know, they have a healthy weight and you know, they're smiling, you know, and it's working. The fact is that why should I believe in the power greater than myself? Because I could not stay abstinent, and I'm still cannot stay abstinent, you know, on my own, left to my own devices. I overeat. That's a fact for me. So the reason why I need a higher power, I mean, you guys are a power greater than myself because there's hundreds of you recovered. And the fact is that I haven't been able to stay abstinent for over 15 years. And so definitely I need a power greater than myself to stay abstinent, right? And to lead a life. You know, there's a line in the book, you know, that talked about, you know, a life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And that's a fact for me. You know, so anyways, the reason why I'm here is because I want to recover from compulsive overeating. I want to recover. I want to be healthy. I want to live a healthy life. You know, and if I could have done it, I would have. But the fact is that I have not been able to lead a, you know, consistent healthy life, consistent and being able to stay after it. So anyway, it's important for me to be clear, why is it that I need a power greater than myself? Because the fact is that I have not been able to do it myself. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear you say pass. Go ahead, please, Charles H., followed by Margaret D.
Thank you very much for your service. So the real question for me is, why ask myself why? That ain't going to do nothing. Why is a crooked letter? And it reminds me of fear. Actually, why is fear? Asking why is fear. Skepticism is fear. It's doubt, and it's vestiges, it's vestiges of I can do this by myself. And this whole book, the theme of this book is we cannot do this by ourselves. Lack of power is our dilemma. We talked about that on page 45. I don't understand God, but I stand under God. The miracle is I'm awake. I'm awake. And no human power could have woke me up out of the cousin of death, which is sleep. No human power. No more whys for me. I'm done with the whys. I'm done with asking why. I just need to be like, how? How does this thing work, God? How does this thing work? How do I access you? How do I build a relationship with a power greater than myself that I don't understand, that I can't comprehend? It's bigger than my little finite mind. Right, like it's just so big, and life can be so big when I'm in gratitude. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for allowing me to work with other people. Thank you, God, for allowing me to get to the 65th party of Overeaters Anonymous, and people there were on one accord, happy in their release. It says in a vision for you, right? And if you want to believe, pull up. We'll show you people that are happy in their release, and all they want to do is just spread joy and love. And they ain't got no whys in them no more. It's over for the whys. Why am I asking why still? Why am I so skeptical? Why am I full of doubt, worry, fear, antagonism? Right? That's not a life I want Charles H. to want to live anymore. How can I help God's kids so that I can enlarge in my relationship with a power? And I ain't scared to say the word God. But if you are, that's fine. We have no, you know, affiliation on anybody else's personal relationship with a higher power. You know, there's some words that Bill uses in Bill's story and in We Agnostics, creative intelligence, supreme being. But he also said on page 10 that, you know, he didn't really believe in Ebby. You know, he was ranting on page 10 and 11, and then on page 11 he talked about, you know, to Christ I conceded, you know, a great man, not to follow by his followers. He ain't never lied, but he was throwing shade. But today we can shed light. And with that,
fine.
I pass. Thanks.
Please. Thank you. Thank you, Charles. Okay, Margaret D., you're up, followed by Jeannie B.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Margaret D. in Georgia. I used to beat my head up against the wall trying to figure out a lot of this. And it's not a good plan. That is just really not a good plan. So what has come to me intuitively from working the steps and talking to other people, and are two things. One is, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Because that power, here's the first one, because that power, which is greater than myself, keeps contacting me going, this isn't working for, you know, you're having all these intuitive thoughts and you're looking at your life and the stack of bills and the failed relationships and, you know, the poor health and all these other, I can't remember what the phrase is that the book uses about it. Oh, the, you know, the nine, whatever it is, the dilemmas or whatever. That, to me, is why I should believe, as Charles so succinctly just put it, because my life is poop when I try and be the higher power in my whole, in my own life. It's like trying to go against gravity. It's like trying to swim against the tides. It's, you know, all these natural, and some of them really are just phenomena. We can observe them, but we can't really explain it. The biggest one for me, phenomenon, was, I don't know if anybody, I'm sure we all have watched birds when they flock up in the fall. And on a split second, they all just change and go in a different direction. This is like 500, 1,000 birds in a flock. My natural, I mean, when I just look at the natural world, I see evidence of this everywhere. So why do I want to keep saying that I don't believe or it doesn't exist or whatever? Basically, I'm crazy. And I'm just, you know, I know that's hard for other people to accept. Unfortunately, once I started to realize just how defiant and insane my thinking was, oh my God, that's when the relief started. So I just want to pass on one real quick experience. Once I allowed myself the luxury of saying, what if, cracking that mental door open just a half a second, saying, okay, I don't really have to believe this, but what if, just for the sake of argument, what if, all kinds of things I started to become aware of all different things that were always there. And so, and I'll wrap it up with this. The reason that I've had this change of heart is that I think for all of us that what we are seeking is what is causing us to seek. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay, go ahead, Jeannie B., and then we'll open it up for more shares. If you just joined us, we're on page 48. The first paragraph, the reader made still, reading through two paragraphs, ending with as a starting point, and we're commenting on both of those paragraphs. Thank you, Jeannie. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, fellows and Katie and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Thank you so much. I am Jeannie B, JEANNIEB, recovered in Florida. This set of paragraphs really hit me because I'm a psychotherapist by profession, and I learned this phrase a long time ago that I read in these paragraphs, which is, we do what we want to do, we don't do what we don't want to do, and everything else is the story we tell ourselves as to why. So that really hit me with this, is when I want to say yes, when I'm ready to say yes, I say yes. I happen to be, when I was introduced to OA 2.5 years ago, I was ready. I was so ready that when objectionable things were said, I was like, I'll give it a try. What the heck? I don't have anything to lose. I'll give this 4 months. sure, I'll turn my will and my, sure, I'll do a program for 4 months. I will try it. I've tried things that were far less healthy for me, so what the heck? I can give it a try. I'll just be 4 months older if the 4 months doesn't turn into anything. And then I learned later that there's a continuum of what's called readiness for change. So just because I'm in the why doesn't mean I'm a no, because if I wouldn't be in conversation if I was a no. So I may not be a hell yes or a yes, but I'm also not a no when I'm in the why. I'm in the contemplation, and I can ask, well, what are my fears? What are my concerns? In other words, if somebody said, why am I asking why? And if I can ask myself, what are my concerns? That's a question that I can get answered. I know what my concerns are more readily than, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? No, what are my concerns? What are my fears? What is holding me back? And then I can get closer to a yes or a no. And I just wanted to share that. I'm so blessed to be in the yes, in the hell yes, in the please yes, in the give it to me every day yes, work recovery every time, every chance I can get, because not only am I out of the food, but I'm becoming an increasingly better person and a happier person and a calmer person. I'm so grateful for the change in my character. I appreciate you all very much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jeannie D. Okay, so if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday, I mean,
Rivka R.
Thursday or Friday. Okay, go ahead. Okay, thank you, Rivka. Who else?
Nancy C.
Nancy C.
Jean M.
Ruben H.
Jean M.
Ruben H.
And Yetta R.
Okay.
Carolyn P.
Ruben H. Israel.
Okay, I got you, Ruben.
Did you get Hana Yetta?
Okay. Yes, I did. So let me tell you who I got. Everybody jumped in all at once. Okay. Rivka R., Nancy C., Jean, I think I wrote Jean M., Ruvain from Israel, Hana Yetta R., and Carolyn, I didn't get your initial. Did I miss someone?
Jean M. from Michigan.
Okay, I got you, Jean. And Carolyn, I'm not sure what your initial was. So that's, we have 5, 10, 15, 23 minutes. So we could take a couple more if someone else wanted to give me their name. Or we can just go with this list.
Vanessa G.
Okay. Vanessa G?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I have Rivka R., Nancy C., Jean M., Ruvain, I forget. I think it's R. I don't know. Hana Yetta R., Carolyn, and Vanessa G. Go ahead, please, Rivka.
Hi, good morning. Am I still unmuted? Oh.
Yes.
Okay, I'm
okay, now we don't
okay.
hear you. There you are.
Okay,
thanks. Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Katie, for your service. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And I love this electricity example because it's like a perfect analogy for my higher power. Like electricity is always there. I can't see it. I can't hear it. I can't taste it. But it's there, and I don't have to understand it, but I do have to take an action to benefit from it. You know, I have to flick that switch on, or I'll still be sitting in the dark. And when I flip that switch, like, I trust that that light is going to go on. And that's all I need. I need to trust that there's a power that's always there that's waiting for me to turn to it, and which is actually, I believe, is why I was created, like to reveal that godly light in the world. And I do that by turning to it and trusting it and getting me out of the way. I certainly can't do that if I'm just focused on myself and overeating and blaming others, and that's just sitting in the dark. So I'm just so grateful for this perfect analogy of what I need to do in my life to turn that light on. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Rivka. And next is Nancy C., followed by Jean M.
Hi, everybody. This is Nancy C. In Houston, Texas. Gosh, I really love these paragraphs and the speaker talking about Euclid's postulates as and, you know, how this power that I use every day, all the time, in electricity is based on something that's, you know, sort of immutable and unseen. And even the theories and the assumptions they're not like material. They're unseen. And they're mysterious even. And where did they come from? And they're just like, I mean, oh boy, I have the experience now of like, I'm kind of curious now about these postulates, but I don't really have to go in there and dig around. I'm just going to accept them. And the same thing with the higher power. I don't have to go around and figure out why it is and what it is. I just have to accept it and look for evidence. And there's so much evidence. I mean, just in the material world, in the natural world, so much evidence about the power of nature and, you know, what's keeping all this together. And there's obviously that is so much bigger than me. So the way I've just had an experience just yesterday, taking my mom and her caregiver out for lunch, and there were two rounds of bread on the table, there were desserts, there was all this stuff going on, and these are things that I don't know why, but I am allergic to those things. And the difference between OA and a diet, I had this no interest. That was not me. That is not, you know, I have a disease that says, I want that. It was gone. So that is like an unseen power that I don't know how to explain, but I didn't feel like, oh, you know, I can have a little bit because of the calories and I'll do something later and, you know, sort of negotiating with it. No, it was gone. I had total neutrality, no interest whatsoever. Was able to completely enjoy lunch with my mother. And this on a beautiful day. I mean, that is just such a gift. And it's this whole notion about electricity is the power. It's an unseen power that I just, and I now today, my, you know, it's for me to be able to appreciate and have incredible gratitude for. That's my job, is to accept, to look for evidence, to accept it, to accept that evidence, and to have faith, and to then just get to enjoy this incredible life. So thank you so much for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Nancy C. And now we'll have Jean M. followed by Ruvain.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Jean M. from Michigan. I'm brand new. I've only been doing OA for about a week, so I'm not in recovery yet. But I have had a belief in God for a long, long time. That's my higher power, Christian God. And I have turned a lot of things over to Him, I thought. But I'm finding from listening to all of you and reading the big book and talking with my sponsor that, you know, I don't have the relationship with my God that I could have and that I deserve to have. I am realizing that there is so much more that He can do for me. And this program is teaching me that I really need to let go, let God, and that I will have by the grace of God, I will have the sanity that I'm searching for, that I've been searching for a long time. I believe He has led me to this program. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And I'm grateful for that. So he has been guiding me. I believe that, but I realize that there's so much more that I can ask from him and that he will give me, that he'll restore me to sanity, and that I will stop the compulsive overeating that I've never been able to get a handle on with all of my efforts, like everyone, you know, can attest to. And I'm just grateful for this program. It's on my gratitude list today. And I'm grateful for all of the people that have reached out to me and shared with me through programs, and I mean through meetings and outreach calls and all of it. I'm very grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean M. Welcome. Hey, Ruvain, your turn, followed by Hanayeta R.
Yes, thank you. My name is Ruvain H. from Israel, and grateful to be here and grateful for the service, everyone, and for the shares up till now, and which will come follow mine. So I'm really looking at this paragraph, these two paragraphs, in the context of, you know, what the Big Book is talking about. And I preface by saying that I couldn't stay stopped with my food. I couldn't stay stopped with other substances and behaviors. And that was my dilemma. I could not stay stopped. And the directions in this Big Book are giving me what the first 100 found that was a solution. And this solution was a belief in God, and to see God working in their lives. And it prefaces, as it goes through this we agnostics, it starts out by saying the willingness to believe in a power greater than myself commenced to get results. So I need to take stock of that, that got them results. Our own conception, however, inadequate sufficient, was sufficient to make the approach. So it's really giving me a gentle way to that I can have my own conception. Then it further says, if we wish to grow, we have to begin somewhere. We could commence at a simpler level. And this is beautiful because it allowed me in my process to be able to get to where I am today. And then this starts with the question of why should he believe? And the reality is that one does not have to believe. And there are people that don't have to believe that are doing fine, that are staying abstinent even. And they say, I don't believe. However, it could be that there is a reason to believe, and he gives some reasons. You know, one of the reasons that I have why I should believe that I like to look at the analogy between a plate and God. A plate serves a person's purpose. It holds cup. But a plate doesn't have to necessarily know, or at least to my knowledge, I'm not aware of a plate having a discussion with God about why you created me and what you wanted me to do. So to that extent, I have a purpose. I'm like a plate. I have a purpose. What makes me different is that I am a spiritual being, and that makes me different than the plate. It makes me different than the horse, per se. It makes me different than the table. I have a God soul in me that is my spirituality. And as a starting point, it's a reasonable assumption that I can start. Now, I had this assumption when I was very young in college, when I was very young in high school. I remember walking around.
Time, please.
People say they don't believe in God. But just to finish, how did I get here? Something had to create me or created that which created me. And therefore, now I have a greater understanding and I'm past that simpler level. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Ruvain H. from Israel. Hanayeta R., you're up, followed by Carolyn. And Vanessa, we may not have time for you, but we'll see.
This is Hanayeta R. I'm a grateful, recovered, recovered compulsive
overeater from Texas, Plano, Texas. I also have to respond on the passage where it says about the electricity. I just think that that is a perfect analogy for my belief in, well, I've always had a good belief in God. While I was using, while I wasn't using, it didn't matter. I always knew he was there. But it does say that we have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. You know, everybody believes, you know, then without a murmur of doubt. I know that when I'm going to go turn on my light, unless the bulb is out, it's going to turn on. But that's a fix, an easy fix. I trust that that's going to happen. And with God, I trust that he's there for me. I trust that he's going to be there for me through thick and thin, that he's my father, my friend, my therapist. He's everything. He's everything. And all I have to do is turn on the switch. Anytime, I've had several bouts of 10 years of abstinence, and the only time I lose it is when I get mad that I'm not getting my way, and I turn my back on God. He does never leaves me. He's always there holding my hand. But I turn my back on him, and I lose my abstinence. It's real simple. If I'm not facing God and I'm not using him as my higher power, which I don't, anyway, as my God, then I'm going to lose it. And I know that my life is full of miracles because I believe and trust in God. And I want to tell everybody that don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, because it's there for you. Just hold out your hand and it'll happen. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I'll quit now so somebody else might have a little bit more time. I'm past.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. Carolyn, you're up. We have 3 minutes, so.
Hi, Carolyn. And it's good to be here. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Thank everybody for doing service in this meeting. It's greatly appreciated. I'm a little different. I came in as a believer, a strong believer, believing in the Bible and everything it said was correct. And I thought I had this God of mine all figured out. But joined a church when I was way back in high school, long, long time ago. But I've been around these rooms for a little while yet, so far. And I decided after hearing a lot of spirituality in the programs that I'm in that I don't have this all figured out. I can't put God in a neat little box and package him up and saying this is how it is. But I do believe, the big book calls it the spirit of the universe. I know there's a presence, an all-powerful presence, that is in all living things that I believe now. When I do prayer and meditation every morning, I believe that there is a presence and some all-powerful spirit. But as I do pray and meditate and results happen because of it, I know there is a presence. And with that, I'll say thank you very much for letting me share, and I'll give someone else a chance. Thank you very much. I pass.
Okay, thank you so much. And so, Vanessa G., you have 1 minute. Do you want to take that?
This is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. And I'll try. I'm going to go back to the first paragraph where it says, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? And it says, there are good reasons. Let's take a look at them. And every morning I take a listen at them. you know, the good reasons or the recovered people on the line showing me that a belief in a higher power is yields results. It has given them and now me the ability to live without the compulsion to overeat, the compulsion to restrict, the compulsion to be addicted to food. There are many good reasons on this line, and I really appreciate every voice that has brought this answer to me. It really doesn't matter. If I believe, or I mean, if there's something there or not, the belief in yields results by itself. Just taking that leap of faith. If you're new, stay with us. You will find an answer here. Just keep listening. Thanks.
Thank you for taking us out. Okay, so thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, September 23rd, 7 a.m. meeting is 21,765. That's 21765. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Rick J. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you for your service, Katie. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Your own house is in order, but obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.